So I don't know them all, but we're going to pray for this whole Lawrence County in Southern Ohio this morning. Amen. We're going to set our faith in agreement. Well, why would you do that? Well, Jesus said we're to agree as touching anything that he would do it for us. Amen. Father, we love you and praise you this morning. We just magnify your holy name. Father, we come into your presence where we might obtain mercy, Lord. We come by way of the sacrifice in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah. And Father, we lift up Derek to you and our other Derek and Jeffrey and others, Lord God, this whole Southern Ohio area, Lord God, from Lawrence County to Gallia County, Meigs County, Scioto County, Lord God. Father, we lift them up to you. And Father, I pray for that mercy that we just sang about, Lord God, that you would grip the hearts of those addicted, Lord God. Lead them, Lord God, to a place of deliverance, Lord. Send a laborer across their path that will tell him about your goodness and your mercy. And Father, we look forward to hearing great testimonies. We've seen Southern Ohio on the news about how bad it is. It's probably just as bad in Greenup County and Boyd County, Kentucky, Lord God. And Father, we lift them up to you too, as well as Cabell County in West Virginia and others. Father, we look forward to seeing your mercy, your delivering power, setting these young men and women free. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug or a handshake. Tell them you're glad to see them. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Everybody blessed this morning. Glory, 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 glory. Anybody need an offering envelope? We'll fire Bernie. There you go. You'll have a good time. Everybody get an offering envelope, needs one. She'll get you one. I'll get you one. Hallelujah. I've got some ushers. I just got to get them jackets and get them trained. But I've got volunteers. 6 weeks from now, we'll be... No, you don't need one if you're just putting it in case. Okay, no problem. Hallelujah. Everybody blessed. Y'all watch these guys over here. I hear that all the time.
She sent me some money Friday and I forgot to add more.
Jackie, as faithful as you are, honey, we're not going to worry about it. I trust you. Well, let's pray and you can give. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and praise you. We magnify your holy name. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for seed week sowing your kingdom. We thank you, Father, place that seed in the hand of a mighty God. You'll multiply it, you'll use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that we give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Here, Deb. Need to put some glue in the Gorilla Glue in the bottom of that. Hallelujah. Nice. Hallelujah. Everybody get an opportunity to give. We don't want to cheat anybody out of a blessing. Hallelujah. They break you already just one time. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 19. It's going to be a little different message than you normally get. I'm going to talk about Ray Kroc and McDonald's this morning. Okay. Exodus 19. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word and what it means to us. I ask you to anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to verse 1. Exodus 19, verse 1. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, I can hear me down here, Terry, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God tells them in verse 5 that if they will indeed obey his voice and keep my covenant, he says, they will be a special treasure to him. Now, I want to point out something to you. Israel had already, or the children of Israel, had already become a nation. However, they lacked one thing, a land, okay? They didn't have their own nation or country. The people were big enough. They had become a nation in Egypt. So much so that the Pharaoh feared them. Okay? And he enslaved them. So God has now delivered them out of slavery. They're camped out at Sinai. God's leading them where? To the promised land, right? But God is in their midst. Amen? I want to make an application here to that. I feel like sometimes that our church, we are just like the nation of Israel. We are at Sinai. God is in our midst. Somebody say amen. That was a good place to say amen. God is in our midst, but we are without a land. We have not obtained a promise. Everybody with me? Because I'm going to make this analogy all through this message. Let's go to Genesis 15 real quick. I'm trying to get through these foundation scriptures. Everybody knows me. This guy told me this week he preaches in 15 or 20 minutes. I said, Lord have mercy, I can't build my foundation in 15 or 20 minutes. Then I found out he preaches out of books and doesn't use the Bible very much. It kind of scared me. But hey, whatever works for him. I'm not here to criticize, okay? Look at verse 7. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to Abraham, right? Yes. Abraham brought him out of what would become Babylon. He brings him out of there, and God tells him what? That he's bringing him to a land that he will inherit. And God will also promise to drive out all the enemies. Amen. Amen. And that Abraham's seed, or his the nation that God is going to raise up out of Abraham, is going to possess that land. Amen. Right? Now, turn with me to Numbers 13. Numbers 13. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Here's the big moment. They have come to Kadesh Barnea. They are at the edge of the promised land. Amen. Now, God's already promised it to them. All they have to do is obey. Amen. Right? Can I tell you something about God's promises today? The only thing you're required to do is obey. It hasn't changed. Amen. Okay? And what is that? 3,500 years, it hasn't changed. Amen. All right? Now, let's pick it up here in chapter 13, verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. Now, I think I said this recently, but R.W. Shambach used to say that cluster of grapes was so big, one grape make a quart of wine. Okay? That'd be a big grape, all right? I've never seen a cluster of grapes. You had to put it, it took two men to carry it and had to carry it on a pole between them. That's a big grape. 24, verse 24. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw that the descendants of Anak were there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us up to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. Wow! And guess what happened to them? They got lost. They wandered for 40 years, never did get back to Egypt. Why not? They were supposed to be following God. God had promised Abraham he would drive out the enemies. Can I tell you something? What I'm about to tell you today, some of you are going to be like the people that feared the giants. Can I tell you something? If you fear the giants, you're never going to accomplish anything. You with me? Amen. It's that way in business. Yes. It's that way in your own life. You know, if you're, well, I'll just share this with you. I'll let you in on some family secrets. We were wondering, what are we going to do with our business? Because if we don't expand and be like and try to get bigger, we're liable to be ate up, gobbled up by the big boys. So we decided that we was going to spend $500,000 and buy 4 or 5 new trucks to expand. However, that comes with, you know, for Marathon, John, $500,000 and nothing. You know, but for the Deer family, you know, that's a lot. Okay? And so, you know, there wasn't without some fear there. But are we going to fear the giants, or are we going to trust God? Amen. Amen? So if you've prayed and you've decided that God has told you to do something, then let's do it. Now, for all you that's been skipping Sunday school, you probably not going to have a clue what I'm about to say. But we've been talking about sonship, being made in the image of Jesus, being one with him and the Father, and having his heart. And the heart of God is to expand the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And if we're going to be a son just like Jesus and have his heart, then we're going to have to be about expanding the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I want to show you something. Maybe. I want to show you these words here. I had too many Hebrew words today, so I can't remember them all. So you'll just have to bear with me. There's a yod, a resh, a shin. And let me check out the last letter. This is going to be important. Hey, should have known that. Okay, this is a Hebrew word. Make sure I pronounce it right. Yerusha. Yerusha, and it means possession. Oh, I got two S's in. There you go. All right, you got that? Yerusha. Everybody say it. No, just kidding. Just kidding. All right. Now, there's a word that shares the same root, two-letter root, a resh, and a shin, and a tov. And this is the word reshet, and it's the word for net. They share the same root. Well, what's that mean, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I probably won't keep you very long today. We still won't beat the Baptist to the chicken house, but, you know. Oh, ye of little faith over here. Luke chapter 5, 1395. Luke chapter 5, let's look at verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that is the Sea of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Wow. This is the word that this English word, net, comes from. There's a Greek word in between there, okay? But I like to go back to the original, because it's the original that was translated into Greek and in English. So if we look at the Greek, we won't get the connection between possession and net.
Amen.
Amen? So Jesus tells them, cast your net out there. So that net now becomes an instrument in which they're going to what? Possess the fish, right?
Amen.
You with me? All right, let me show you something else here real quick. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 41. It says his parents went to, this is page 1390. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Anybody ever lost your kid in Walmart? It's not a good feeling, is it? They were a whole day's journey from Jerusalem. Can you imagine what Mary was telling Joseph? It probably wasn't pretty. Why didn't you? No, I won't get into that. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's, what? Business. I must be about my father's business. Well, go to Matthew 28. Let's find out what that business is. Page 1345. I want you to see this command. He says in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and though I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, Jesus tells them, go and make disciples. Everybody know who Ray Kroc is? He's the founder of McDonald's. You know how he founded McDonald's? He went into a restaurant owned by the McDonald's brothers. And they had a system. Anybody ever ate a burger at Fat Patty's?
Yeah.
Fat Patty's got big, juicy burgers.
Right?
Yeah. Who do you think sells more hamburgers? Fat Patty's or McDonald's? McDonald's, why? Because Fat Patty's is a better burger, right?
Well.
Oh, I think so. Fat Patty's is a better burger than McDonald's for me, anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, anyway, for me it is. But it takes longer. Why does McDonald's sell more burgers? It's because they have a system. When Ray Kroc went into the McDonald's burger restaurant, those McDonald's brothers restaurant, he asked them, could you show me how you do this so fast? Because he watched them, and somebody come in and order two burgers and fries, and boom, they had it in a bag. And he went in the back, and they had an assembly line. They had somebody refrying the burgers. Somebody's putting a burger on a bun, somebody that was squeezing the mustard and ketchup, somebody that was dumping the onions and pickles on there, somebody wrapped that bad boy up and out it went. Huh? Yeah, they had a system. See, we're a lot like. I mean, we come to church here, right? And we're making disciples. Okay? But really, we're just becoming fat. Listen to me. Wait a minute, listen to me. Hear me. Spiritually fat. We're happy. Now listen, I've done took my beating in my prayer closet, okay? We're happy. We're happy to be here, happy to see everybody here, happy to praise God together, happy to pray for each other, okay? Happy to put our offering in the plate, and happy to waddle home. Jesus said, wait. Jesus said, make disciples. But one of the keys to making disciples is you have to catch fish first. And this is my fault. I'm laying all the blame at my footsteps, okay? Not yours, but mine. But I'm going to incorporate you into the remedy. Where's the harvest? Is it in here?
No.
It's in the field.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Harvest is not in here, it's in the field.
Amen.
So, how many of you like to see these pews packed?
Amen.
You know, I've done two services on Sunday, so if it ever gets so packed we got to do services, that ain't no big deal. I'll have me and the ushers and the prayer team that we're going to put together and the praise and worship folks and the camera folks. So most of you will still be here for the second service too. No.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But the harvest is not in here. It's out there. See, our problem is we're like the children of Israel. We're happy being camped with God. We're happy God's feeding us manna from heaven. We're happy God's feeding us quail from heaven. We're happy he's watering us with a rock because we got God in our midst. But we're supposed to be about the Father's business. Now this is going to come as a crushing revelation for you. Good preaching and good worship will not build a church. Do you know how hard that was for me to tell you that? But after 20 years, I figured it out. No, 22 years. I figured it out. Just because the preacher can preach well, just because he's handsome, and just because we sing lots of pretty songs, I got one amen over here in the corner from Dad. Thank you, honey. I'll buy your lunch, sweet thing. Okay. Won't make church grow. You with me? All right, as long as you know that, let me show you something. The children of Israel had to do what to get the promised land? What did they have to do?
Obey.
They had to possess. They got right up to Kadesh Barnea. One grape make a quart of wine. But they wouldn't go in to possess it. Peter, throw that net over the side. Oh, man. We've done this before. We've done it all night. Nevertheless, he did it. Did he not? See, I'm going to tell you our biggest challenge we're going to have. A lot of us are not spring chickens. Huh? I didn't call anybody old. I just said we're not spring chickens. Not all of us, but a lot of us are not spring chickens. Okay? But see, our burger's good. We don't have a good system. Okay? The burger's good. The system's broke. Let me show you something. Oh, my goodness. God brought this to me. How long have we been doing youth camp? 20-some years, pretty close. 95, we did our first one. We only missed 1 year, 2 years since then. But the very first youth camp we did, God gave us a theme. It was called, we called it the three P's. It was purpose, priorities, and passion. And the idea is, if you understand your purpose, then you develop your priorities to meet that purpose. You'll develop a passion for what your purpose is. Amen. And let me tell you about passionate people. They change the world.
Amen.
They be, remember that old song you used to sing it was a Christian song. I want to be a history maker. Passionate people are history makers. Everybody still here? Okay. Let me show you something about our system. We have a senior pastor. If you don't know who that is, see me afterwards. I'll let you in on it. Okay? All right. Now, I had to go back to some of my old church growth notes, and then I talked to a young man that went from 25 people to 800 people. And while we disagree on a lot of things, and I would never give a guy advice that's running 800 people in his church. I'll never give him advice, okay? And you know, but I did listen to him. But one of the things that he had in common with all the, listen, I've been to a bunch of church growth seminars. Too many to count. But when they tell you that, you know, when you go into a city, you need to spend $30,000 on a mail out. A mail out, sending, you send whatever, however many, like you send 30,000 pieces of mail out, you're usually guaranteed to get a tithe off of that. So if you send out 30,000 pieces of mail in a new city, you're starting a church, you'll probably get 300 people. And I was thinking about when we started in the storefront. And, you know, we was counting every nickel and every penny. And I'm like, who starts out with $30,000, you know, to do a mail out of all things, you know? It's funny, all the guys that taught at most of those church growth seminars, they go to cities that are 100, 150,000 or more, okay? So, like I told one guy, he was in Columbus, and he was bragging that he had 400 people in his church. And I can only take so much. You know, the one thing a rooster can't stand is another rooster, okay? And so one cocky guy, me, cannot stand another one, all right? Now, this has been about 17, 18 years ago, so I've humbled myself, or God has humbled me a lot, all right? But he's bragging, and he said it once, and he said it twice, and we're in a room full of pastors, and I know all these guys, they're all struggling, you know? And he said it third time, and I said, well, wait a minute. You're in Franklin County, right? Yeah, yeah. I said, well, you know what? There's 1 million people in Franklin County. There's not but 32,000 in this county. And I'm running about 40, and Pastor Jim's running about 40. I'd say, we're doing better than you are. That didn't go over very well. Okay. Needless to say, we've never had lunch again, but all right. My point is, our burger's good, our system's broke. Now, here's what everybody will tell you. You need, this if you're going to win people to the Lord, or you're going to get new people, you have to have worship. Now, here's the good news. Here's the good news. There are churches that run 500, 600, 700 that praise, that use CDs. Okay? So it's not like we got to have a live band, okay? But they usually have a worship leader here. Then they have a children's church, youth, and they have what is called connections, okay? Did you see the pastor wasn't even, I mean, he's up here, but the preaching isn't even in there. You know that? All right. The most important things that you have are these two. When you want younger people to come to church. See, I haven't seen very many, I just haven't seen anybody for years in this church have a child. Right? We've got to get younger. How are we going to get younger? We've got to have children's church. Well, somebody asked me one time, I was trying to get children's church started. Somebody asked me, well, why do we need children's church? We don't have any kids. That's a good thought, but you know what? You always dress for where you're going, not where you've been. See, you got up and got dressed to come to church today, right? But you dressed in such a way that, because you were coming to church. So we have to dress not for where we've been, but for where we're going. So we have to find some people willing to do this. And you know what? It's going to, the giants are going to raise their head. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the early days. You're going to prepare. You're going to be all ready. No kid's going to show up. And you're going to want to get discouraged. Amen? But we're going to dress up. We're going to put a system in place in order that we can grow. Okay? Connections. This is the most important one. I didn't know it, but Janie already sends out cards. Okay? Connections includes greeters, ushers, outside with umbrellas when it's raining. Now my ushers are looking at me like, you got to make connections with people. Amen? That's right. We're going to get you trained. Don't panic, okay? Somebody has to call people. When you get a visitor, statistics say that you have to contact that person within the first 24 hours. Somebody has to make a phone call. Somebody needs to bake a dozen cookies and take it to their house. You with me? See, I'm telling you, what am I telling you? Ministry is spelled W-O-R-K, and it's not all on the pastor. Boy, it is so quiet in here, Lord, you better do something. I'm telling you, Lord, it is quiet. It is quiet. I want to show you something. Turn with me. So our purpose, I should have wrote this up here. Our purpose is to make disciples. Okay? Our priorities have to be the lost.
Amen.
You hear me? Purpose is to make disciples. Priority is the lost.
Amen.
And if we'll go after the lost, we'll have a passion for making disciples.
Amen.
That make any sense to you? I mean, you all are so easy to preach to. I mean, you're so easy. You're not like the toddler that didn't like the carrots and tried to spit them out. Y'all eat everything I serve up there. You're easy. It's easy to be content. The bills are all paid in this church. This is one of the most giving churches that we've ever had. That anybody, when I send in our monthly report with our church tithe, they're amazed at what this church gives with no more people that's in it. Now that don't mean you can back off what you're giving. All right, don't say, well, let's just put it in cruise control. They don't need our money. That is not true, okay? All right? Because when you start doing this, it costs money, okay? Now, so our purpose is what? Make disciples. So our priorities have to be what? Who? The lost. Amen. Yes, Cindy. Oh, check that. Well, wait a minute. There might be a better way. Check that. I'm not saying that wouldn't work. I've often said, that if we had a keg party out here, we would fill the place. Okay?
We don't
Yeah, but I'm not. Wait a minute. Holy hallelujah. Okay.
Holy holler helpers.
Holy holler helpers. I got to think on that a minute. Turn to the book of Psalms. Let me show you. And we went from the lost to keg party. They are the lost. That's true. Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. Hallelujah. You make a point. Good point there, Cindy.
We get dressed up and we get six people together, we do the six pack.
And then we've got several of us that look like a keg already. Okay, let me bring us back in. Let me try to make us as spiritual as I can. Those are great ideas, by the way. It's hard to be a six-pack or a member of the six-pack if you look like a keg. You know. So. Verse 1, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, that being the Messiah, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces, cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king, talking about Jesus now, my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my what? Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your what? Possession. Glory to God. That's a promise to Messiah, that if he would ask for the nations, God would give them for his possession. Amen. Amen. Aren't we to have his heart? Amen. Aren't we to be made in his image? Our priorities must be his priorities, the lost. Not only do we need to pray, but we need to come up with some ideas and a system in order to get people in the church. Let me show you this thing here, if I can. All right. We're going to have a skinny one here. All right. These are called waves. You get the waves? All right, now, waves are natural times that churches experience their biggest crowds, okay? Somebody tell me when the church is full.
Easter.
We'll put Easter right here. We don't usually call it Easter, but we will today.
Christmas.
Those are your two main waves, okay, that the church gets more people coming. But there's another place, the fall. When summer ends and school starts back, statistics tell us that more people go to church. Summertime's not a time, summertime in the church is really just a time to maintain, really. Okay, people go on vacation, weather's good, going fishing, going camping, you know, that's why I cringe when somebody tells me they bought a boat. It's like, you work 5 and 6 days a week, you got a boat. I'm wondering when you're going to ride in it. You got me?
Amen.
Well, I got this new boat, Pastor. I really want to come to it, but I got this new boat, and the only day off I got Sunday. Okay, whatever. Okay? So, these are called waves. These are times during the year that more people go to church, according to George Barnum. Okay? He is a stats guy. All right? So, what we have to do is we have to do something here at these times that will bring people to church. I remember one time when I was a bus minister, and I don't ever want to be a bus minister again. I was backslid away from God. The Nazarene pastor called me and said, I want to have lunch with you. I'm thinking, my mom has put you up to this. I just knew that mom had something to do with it. And so I said, I really don't want to have lunch with you, pastor. I said, no offense, but I said, did my mom put you up to this? No, no, your mom has nothing to do with this. I want to talk to you. I was like, seriously? So I relented, had lunch with him. We went to Bob Evans. At the time, I think the only Bob Evans was the one in Huntington by the bridge. I don't think the one in Iceland was built yet. But anyway, we went up there to that Bob Evans, and he had, yeah, this group remembers, he had half a dozen records. You know, the big ones, not the 45s, the 33s. And they were by this guy named Don Beebe. And he had a bus ministry somewhere in a big city, and he bused 10,000 kids to church. What the pastor asked me, and I'm backslid. Now, I went to church, and I took my kids to church. He asked me to be the bus minister. I was like, the bus minister? He said, yeah, I want you to go through town, especially in the projects, and I want you to bring kids to church. Well, that was no big deal because I coached Kingsbury's football and basketball team, so I knew. I knew the projects. I knew the kids. So, I don't know if any, I don't know if Aunt Helen or Aunt Diane remember this or not, but the first Sunday, I gave away goldfish. Anybody that got on that bus got a goldfish. Okay? One week we did pony rides. I've never heard from U.S. Bank about the stuff the ponies left over in their parking lot. Nobody ever contacted me. But I will never forget, please, Lord, forgive me. I'll never forget, because I had a bad attitude, believe it or not, and I was a smart aleck. And I can still be a little bit of a smart aleck. It kind of runs in the family. So don't any family members on either side of this aisle raise your eyebrows to me, okay? I got dad's family, mom's family, okay? So I get it from both sides, okay? All right? So I was just a tad, a smart aleck. And I remember taking about 40 black kids into that lily white church and parading them right down the middle and out the back door down to the children's church. And you know what? I wasn't happy that we had 40 kids. I was happy that I turned some of those people's, I ruined their day. And that's a perversion, isn't it? That's pretty bad. I mean, I was thrilled that I ruined their day, you know, okay? But we had a picnic one time. I'll never forget this couple. The mom and dad came out and got on the bus and went with us, you know. They thought we was going to the picnic. We was going to church first and then going out to Vesuvius for the picnic. So it was, I don't know, about three sets of parents. And so we went to church, and I took them into their Sunday school class, you know, where they should be. And when I was talking to one, they said, well, I thought we was going on a picnic. I said, we are after church. You know, after church? I said, yeah, after church. So anyway, make a long story short, all six of them walked back home. Okay? All six of them. Let me tell you another story. My brother one time, and I'm telling you this story because it's not enough to have an event. We have to be able to connect with people. My brother called me one time. It was March. And he said, hey, I want you to bring your Santa Claus suit up here in April on the Saturday before Easter. I said, little brother, you have got your holidays confused. But what they did is they rented the whole fairgrounds. They had 50,000 plastic Easter eggs. They had cotton candy, popcorn, hot dogs, Hawaiian ice. You know, we call them snowballs down here. Now, somebody just named it Hawaiian ice, and they sell more of them, you know. But when I was a kid, it was a snowball, right? We played T-ball. We went over and got a snowball, right, Mike? Yeah. So, but there were almost 4,000 people there. It was packed. Gordy was dressed like Easter Bunny. Gordy was dressed, and I was dressed like Santa Claus, and it was about 80 degrees. And I will tell your truth. Santa Claus trumps the Easter Bunny every time when it comes to kids. Because the Easter Bunny went out first and they clapped for him. But when Santa stepped out, they were up and hollering like they were in an Arden High School football game, okay? But here's my point. They did all that event. Not one person came to church. Not one person. So it's not enough just to do a big event. See, when you do outreaches or big events, it's good for the people in the church because you get outside the four walls and it builds some excitement in the church. But you must, if you're going to do something, you've got to be able to connect with people. Okay? You've got to be able to get them on the grounds. You've got to be able to get names, addresses, phone numbers so you can make that follow-up call. Okay? So here's the deal. You have to come up with ideas that bring the people here, but also a way to connect with them. I haven't slept for about 2 days. Well, I did sleep, but I go to bed thinking, what can we do? What can we do to get more of the lost in our church? I mean, I thought about giving away cars, guns, bicycles, TVs, you know. But that's where you all come in. See, no, we don't. I don't know. It might be too late. It's not okay. Hold on. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold. Okay. Hold on. Hold on. Okay. Here we go. Time out. It's still my service. Okay? I'm still a senior pastor. I'm going to pull rank. I'm flexing my, see my stripes? Okay? We need to have what is called a strategic calendar. Okay? That means we have June, we have July, we have August before the fall. Before we do this, we have 3 months to pray and to plan. Amen? So we're going to have to set some times aside, come together as a group, pray, and start hashing out some ideas. Okay? I'm not going to be the little red hen. Okay? I'm not going to have the idea to bake the bread, to grind out the meal, you know, and then expect to share, you know, listen. And here's another thing. You come up with an idea, you need to be sold out enough on your idea that you're willing to head it up. You don't know how many times people's come up with good ideas for me to do. I got enough to do. Okay? You with me? All right, but here's, I want to leave you with this. We're going to take communion here in a minute. Lord, forgive us. We're not been real spiritual. You know, I don't guess we have to be. There is a business side to this. Our purpose needs to make disciples. Our priorities need to be lost. So that means we're going to have to change some things. Yeah. See, it's nice to come in here. God's in our midst. We're in the camp. But we need to possess the land. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just getting fat. And here's another thing. Statistics say only 20% 20% of the people in a city go to church. So Arnton's what? 10,000? 10,000, that means there's 8,000 here that don't go to church. Mm-hmm. How big's Flatwoods? Mm-hmm. Or Ashland or Russell? 30-some thousand in those, yeah. You know. So somebody tell me what 80% of 30,000 is. 24,000. 24,000 don't go to church. We're not looking for church people. We're looking for the lost. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Everybody with me? Yeah. All right. So I'm going to make the effort to get you all working. Well, all right, let me show you something here. Let me show you one other thing. Let me show you one other thing. I'm going to show you a business model here. I'll show you something. This has been keeping me up. In every business, you have what? What would an E stand for? What? Employees. Employees, workers. People that work hard. People that work, make a living to feed their families, right? All right. Every business has employees. What's the S for? Nope. Self-employed. We're talking business here. I didn't give you enough clues. Self-employed. Let me tell you about the self-employed. Self-employed is a guy that owns a business, and he's doing most of the work. I was in Arkansas one time. They were going to take me to this restaurant. It's kind of a high-end restaurant. And it was closed for 2 weeks because the owner of the restaurant did all the cooking. So if he wasn't there, there wasn't nobody cooking. Okay? So he had to shut it down to go on vacation. So this guy was there all the time. The self-employed guy is there all the time, right? But then there's a bit the guy that owns a business, but he's got management underneath him. Okay? He's got people that manage his business underneath him. They manage the employees. While this guy's spending 90 hours there, this guy don't even show up half the time. He just manages. He just has meetings with his managers. But he doesn't do any of the work. Okay? This is where I want to be. You with me? I don't want to be this guy. I don't want to be the senior pastor that's doing all the work. Huh? I want to be this guy here. I'm the manager. I'm the guy that owns it. And then there'll be managers and there'll be employees working. But then the best guy is this guy here. The I stands for investor. He don't do anything. He just lets his money make money for him. See, wouldn't it be nice? See, we all work for money. Wouldn't it be better if our money worked for us? Well, that's this guy. This is the ultimate place to be in business, where you're not having to work for money. Your money's working for you. But there is a business side, business model to the church. Okay? There are managers. There are employees, workers, volunteers. But we all have to be willing to do our part. Listen, I'm going to close here in a minute. I've said that 8 times. When I was a youth minister at a large church, we ran about 600 on Sunday morning. And if the seniors were going on a bus trip, I had to go. I'm the youth minister. Can I tell them that story that happened to me on the bus? You know, oh, come on. I'm sitting in the back of the bus across from the bathroom. Should I tell them?
No, you say that's a mistake, still in the back of the
Oh, that was a mistake sitting on the back of the bus. Yeah, they weren't supposed to use the bathroom. Okay, so I'm on there with a bunch of seniors, and I'm just sitting there reading, and we're going somewhere, and this woman, she comes up, bless her darling heart, let's just say she has a very wide base. There you go, very wide base. And she's coming through there sideways, and she comes through there sideways, and I seen her coming, so I started leaning over, you know, and she went right on my arm, and that woman broke wind. That's a true story.
So did you hear it?
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah. Nobody else did because it was a bunch of senior citizens. They couldn't hear anything anyway. But I told you that story because, and if the singles was doing something, we had to be, you know, with them. They had their own singles ministers. But we were all required to be there. So what I'm telling you is if we do something, we get busy and we start working to win the lost, don't you take the attitude that, Pastor and Jackie will take care of it. You know, I don't have to do nothing. We might put you on a senior's bus. Yeah, wrong time to tell that story. Here's my point. Listen. Here's my point. We got to possess the land. Okay. Our purpose is to make disciples. Our priorities have to be the lost. And if we'll do that, we'll have a passion for the kingdom of God. And that's what we're all about. The kingdom. We are well able. Amen. We're not young, but we're well able. So that means that you, those of you who are younger, some of them aren't here today, that means we're going to saddle and ride you. You know, we're going to harness you up to that wagon, let you pull. I know you'll do whatever I ask. There you go. Hallelujah. Let's have communion and go. I've rattled long enough. I've warned you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here, Jackie and Deb, won't you help me? Lord, I lost all control today. Not that I ever had control. You guys, I got him for a big boy. He was cheap. Call you Esau. Mike told me yes, he'd do something, and I bought him a big boy. So he sold out for a big boy. That's what he told me. You got onion rings too. And you know, I don't know if we have somebody that's geared towards children's church or not. We may have to do some things by committee. You know, it'd be nice to have one person that could take the lead. To whoever. got yours? You got it. Okay. Father, we love you this morning. We magnify you and glorify you. There is none like you. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon you. And by your stripes, we are made whole. And Father, I just thank you for the body of the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, you instructed your disciples that when they did this, they were to do it in remembrance of you. So Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit. You are our high priest interceding for us, and you are our soon coming King. In remembrance of you, with thanksgiving in our hearts, we eat of your body this morning. Hold your cup up. You ready? On three, we're going to say L'chaim. One, two, three. L'chaim means to life. We know that life is in the blood, and at Calvary, Jesus poured out his life so that we could have that life and have it more abundantly. We also know this cup represents the fourth cup in the betrothal process. And the young engaged woman would drink of that fourth cup as a vow to her husband-to-be that she would remain faithful until her wedding day. So this cup is also a vow to the Lord Jesus that we will serve him and remain faithful until he comes. Father, we thank you for the life of our Savior, our Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you, and as a vow of our fidelity until you come, we drink of your life. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you what I want to do. Don't everybody run out of here. How many have somebody that served in the military but they've passed on? Okay. I want you to bring, and you've got to bring him soon, I want you to bring us pictures. Okay. Terry's finding out this right now. Terry's going to make a video for us on Memorial Day to show on the screen, honoring our family members who have served in the military and they have died. Okay, remember, Memorial Day is for those who have died. Veterans Day are for those who are still alive. Am I right, Uncle George? Okay. So I was just thinking in my mind here this week, I've got family members that aren't serving God, but they've got fathers that served in the military, and if we told them, hey, we're going to honor your dad, that might be a way to get him here. Okay? And at the same time, we truly are going to honor them, but that'll help get some of them in. I mean, I've got a large family, if we get just a few of them, That'd be a plus. So, if you've got somebody, we need to get a picture. We'll give you the picture back. We need to get the picture so we can scan it. And then Terry will put a nice video together that will show on Memorial Day. We'll have a table with a flag on it and set those pictures on there. Okay? For that, yes. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Is that possible, Terry? There you go. We just need the names and the war and the picture, okay? All right. Do what? No, no, no. She's talking about on our sign out here, our electronic sign. Right here. No, Terry's going to do a video we'll show on this screen. We'll set the pictures. I have a couple flags. We'll put them on. We'll drape the table in the flag, and we'll set the pictures on that. I'm hoping to get somebody from the Legion, you know, to play taps and fold the flag for us that day. If we had a couple soldiers, that would even be better. No, we'll just put their name and the war they fought in, or the war they served. Well, you can't put pictures on that. It doesn't do pictures. Does it? Not very good. You have to have a project. Yeah. You gonna sit out there and man it 24/7? It's not a bad idea. I'm just trying to. Old slides. Okay. So you need to start getting pictures to us by Wednesday. Okay. Anybody got a question about that? Everybody understand that? Okay. Because Terry needs it. The quicker you get the picture, the name, the whatever war was going on at the time they served. And branch of service. Okay. There you go. There you go. And you come Wednesday with some ideas what we could do for the parade. But I'm going to tell you right now, the parade is work. So if you come up with a great idea for the parade and you don't show up to help me, I'm going to be one red rooster. Yeah, see? Yeah. And we need to talk.
Yeah.
Me and you need to talk.
You know, I have to thank you, Jesus Day.
Uh-huh.
Let's see if we can capitalize on that and start, you know.
That's what I want to talk to you about. Okay. I need to talk to you about that.
I'm open to all suggestions.
You're, all right.
It's really easy to get along with.
Okay. We need to talk about that. All right, yeah. Okay. I want to bless these people because they look hungry. Father, we love you and praise you. We just thank you for your goodness and mercy. I thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you're generating some excitement within our hearts. And Father, I ask that you help us. Help us to bring in the harvest. We are your co-laborers, Lord God. Give us wisdom. Give us ideas, Lord. And Father, I just ask that you be with these, your people. Bless them spiritually, physically, financially, and emotionally. Bless them in every area of their life. And give us someone that we can talk to about the goodness and the mercy of God. And we'll give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Y'all be.